All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's the original Star Trek television theme.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm getting this incredible sense of deja vu.
It does kind of feel the same.
Something's not right here.
No, something's probably slightly changed.
Yes, and
by a week.
By 1 week.
Right.
See how much can change in a week?
Sure.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 149. This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for.
See? Slight difference.
Slight difference. Is.
That's right.
No, not in there.
Right.
So, of course, in the second segment of the show tonight, OG and I will be discussing J.J. Abrams' reimagining, relaunch.
Relaunch.
What are the other buzzwords? Of the Star Trek franchise. And now OG apparently may be getting on the bus is all I'm saying.
Well, I like the movie.
Get to the back of the bus, but he'll be on it.
Right.
So, yes, of course, we encourage you to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and check out all the things we have going on over there, video content. You can buy the official T-shirt. You can see an image gallery for this episode and every episode.
You can.
Where you can see images related to the things that we're talking about here on the show. If you're not listening to us on an iPod or on iTunes or QuickTime, on those devices or methods, you can see the images pop up right as we talk about them.
Absolutely.
Very exciting technology, that is.
Right.
And what was that other thing? Oh, right.
I know there's so many other things. You know,
if you have a question, comment, or something you'd like to hear us talk about on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can give us a call at the hotline.
425-920-6050.
And you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and your topic will be discussed. I think we actually have one of those in the second segment this evening.
I think so. We actually might have more than one. We may be brazen this week.
I don't think we're going to be doing two, sir.
The bit is
one phone call.
Oh, well, fine then.
We'll just make the whole show about answering the phones.
Why? They have things to say.
We would be Dr. Steve if that was the case.
What's wrong with Dr. Steve?
Nothing's wrong with Dr. Steve. He's, Anyway, do you have some news that we can discuss on Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Episode 149? Star Trek episode you're looking for?
This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for. Remember a while back, we were talking about there was this Monopoly movie that was coming because Hasbro...
Was that our April Fool's episode?
No, it wasn't.
Should have been.
Because Hasbro had signed some unholy deal with a film studio to produce movies based on its games.
Okay.
Battleship.
Oh, yeah?
That's it. It's the next one.
How is that... How is that a story?
I don't know. Maybe it's just going to be a naval warfare story.
This is a... Whoever this movie... Is there
maybe
a name?
It'll be like a war games type story.
Is there a name to this movie studio?
It's Universal.
They are dumb motherfuckers at Universal. Because here's how these things work. You know, they have to pay Hasbro a fee so that nobody else can make a battleship movie.
Right.
And if they make a battleship movie, fine. If they don't, they still have to pay Hasbro. It's dumb money. No one is going to develop a battleship movie like nobody is going to develop a Monopoly movie.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Set to possibly go into shooting and production late next year. Mad Max 3? No.
4.
4.
Liar.
I swear to God.
George Miller?
Absolutely. Now, we've heard rumors in the past that he was tied to this and he wanted to do it. And it looks like that the script is all but done. And they're setting a tentative start date for like end of fourth quarter this year.
Mel Gibson?
Production. Oh, I don't know about that.
What? How are they going to have a Mad Max movie without Mel Gibson?
I agree with you. Do you see Mel Gibson returning to that role?
It's like, yeah, now? Especially now.
Really?
Yeah. Divorced? Right. Getting divorced?
I don't know.
His whore is pregnant with his, what, eighth kid? Ninth
Passion
kid?
Of the Christ, Apocalypto, and Mad Max 4? Doesn't seem to be in line with the...
Sir, he won't be directing this movie.
That's true.
Which he did for Apocalypto and the Christ movie.
You're right. You're right.
This would be a movie in which he would perform. What was the last time he did that?
It's been a while.
What Women Want? Was that the last Mel Gibson movie?
Ew.
I think it might have been the last one he actually performed in.
That's gross.
It's a funny flick, sort of. In any case, to see Mel Gibson doing the classic science fiction character of Mad Max.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, my God. I hope to God that your little rumor is true.
I hope it's true, too. I like the Mad Max flicks.
That would be crazy good if that were the case.
Of course, the last time we got this excited about someone returning to this type of character, we got, you know, Escape to L.A., so...
You see, and I didn't hate Escape to L.A. I mean, I thought it was kind of a parody of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
But I just watched recently Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which I hadn't watched in a while.
Nice.
It's a funny flick. It's a good flick. So, wow, that's very exciting news. That actually made my day, believe it or not.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, not difficult to make my day these days.
Apparently, if that's what's doing it for you, not very difficult.
And now I'm going to knock myself right back down.
Good for you.
Ready?
Go for it.
In yet another attempt, their ongoing attempt, I should say, attempts, Marvel Comics, of course, a favorite here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because they generate so much news. Marvel Comics is the George Bush of the comic book industry. And in yet another attempt for them to instruct people on how to read Marvel Comics and so on and so forth, for lack of a better expression, this week they've released Marvel Reading Chronology 2009.
Yes.
Okay. So what this does is this takes some of your favorite characters, Avengers, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Daredevil, Hulk, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Punisher, FF, to name a few. And what it does is it lists the trade paperbacks that are out available that you can read and in what chronological order you should read them in. So let's give you a little example. Let's take the much maligned Wolverine. Very popular.
Is this old man Logan Wolverine that we ranted about last
week?
No,
there's no trade about that, sir. They've broken it into sections. Hello, Matt. Hello, Booker. How are you? They've broken it into sections, and the Wolverine, they call the section Wolverine's Origin Finally Told. And obviously, they recommend the Origin hardcover. Then Weapon X, and they're actually numbered. There's 9 of them that you should read. Wolverine Origin and Endings, Wolverine Origins Volume 1, Origins Volume 2, Origins Volume 3, 4, 5, and X-Men Original Sin. So these are all trade paperbacks, and they suggest, it's a suggested chronology in how you should read them to best, I guess, get a chronological storyline of the character. Of course, never mind that what these books collect is all over the place.
Right.
You know, and it's a bit of this here and it's a bit of this there, and some of it won't match up. Actually, most of it won't match up. And they've done this for a variety of characters, a lot of different things you can do. It's a sad, sad state of affairs when a company has to put out a book like this. DC doesn't have to put out a book explaining how to read Batman. You know,
that's true.
You read Batman number one, and then you read this book here, and then you read this, and then this, and then this. It's just kind of, I don't know. I just found it a little sad. It also is, you know, let's call it what it is. It's a promotion for you to buy Marvel trades.
Well, yeah.
And as that, I appreciate it on some level. However, on the back cover, they've done one of my favorite groups.
Uh-oh.
Young Avengers.
Oh, you love them.
Uh-huh. And, of course, all it is it's Young Avengers Volume 1, Volume 2, Civil War, Young Avengers and Runaways, Young Avengers Presents, and Secret Invasion, Runaways, Young Avengers. So, again, it's kind of, it's partly sad, it's partly business promotion, so I understand it. I'm just getting so tired of these and the Marvel sagas. You know, those free books attempting to consolidate a character history so you can jump on and understand what's happened in the past. You know, it's just sad. If somebody wants to get into Daredevil, here's an idea. Buy some Daredevil comics and start reading. And if you feel like you need to know more, go buy. I'm even promoting buying some of those essentials. You know, where they reprint the stories in black and white.
They're not terrible, those
no,
things.
No, I hate them in black and white. But still, I mean, if you're interested in the character, do it like the rest of us did it. You know what I mean? Get the books and read them. Get the essentials. What are they, $15? They're cheap, and they're like a phone
book. Are they that cheap?
I don't know. Maybe not that cheap, but they're pretty reasonable, I would say, for the content involved. Hey, you really want to be a fan. You want to get into the character. Get the Marvel Masterworks.
Yeah, those actually are the fully... do the legwork.
Yeah.
Don't just go to it. You know, that's kind of like the Wikipedia entry in print form.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
The Marvel Wiki entry, but in print form.
And for the trades, not for the actual issues, mind
right.
you. It's just the trades. Right. Because if there's a clump of a story that hasn't been traded yet, well, you don't need that clump because this is a promotional tool. So there it is. Marvel Reading Chronology 2009. Another sad state of affairs.
Remember last week we talked about Kenneth Branagh and Thor?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Yeah, I remember we got flooded with email because...
Well, we weren't wrong in what we said last week because when we said it, it was correct at the time.
Oh, really?
It wasn't until a day or two later that it was clarified by the studios.
Oh.
At the time, we had heard that Kenneth Branagh was looking at Tom Hiddleston to be the lead in the movie. And so... Naturally, all of the internet websites, including some sites like Variety, EW, they took that to assume that Tom Hiddleston was in the lead to play Thor. And we talked about who is he, and
right.
Nobody knows who he is.
And the moment I saw a picture of him, I'm like, why didn't Branagh cast this guy as Loki?
Right. Well, he has been cast as Loki. That's
yes.
The official word. But we do have a Thor also. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Did you see him recently in a movie?
I did.
He played George Kirk.
That's right.
The father of James Kirk.
Yeah, he Kirk Daddy.
Yes, for about 7 minutes.
And what's her name from House is Kirk's mom, by the way. Ice.
I can't remember her name.
But,
she's going to bug the hell out of me. She's hot as hell.
Not Olivia Wilde hot, no. but hot nonetheless.
Yes. The other hot one, not Olivia Wilde. Olivia Wilde's going to be in Tron 2.
It's Jennifer Morrison.
Yes, the exceptionally sexy Jennifer Morrison.
Right.
From House.
So Chris Hemsworth will be Thor.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are we rushing off Jennifer Morrison so quickly?
Well, because we were talking about Thor.
So she was in there for a few minutes.
Yeah, a couple seconds.
Yeah, it was nice.
In birth.
You know, she was engaged and almost got married to that other guy on the show.
The other guy on the show. The guy that plays Chase?
The Aussie, yeah.
Oh, really?
And then for some mysterious reason, they just broke up. Nobody knows.
Well, it happens.
I'm just saying. He's a lucky man. I hope he didn't screw that up.
So what do you think about this guy as Thor? I could see him better than the other one.
Oh, absolutely. He's got he looks really good for Thor. Now, if you can imagine that,
be a little bit bigger than he was.
From my understanding, of course, is that since the casting note, he has been on a strict bulking up regime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. I can imagine that happening. I'm you're sure gonna they're
Gerard gonna... Butler big by the time.
No, Thor's more bulky than Gerard Butler. Yeah, he's all shoulders and upper arms.
He's all shoulders. It's like little tiny legs.
Yeah.
Huge chest.
He looks
and upper
like
arms.
The hammer. Is what he looks like. Turn the hammer sideways.
Yeah.
What he looks like. But yeah, I think that I think he'll be fine. And the kid playing Loki looks good. Kenneth Branagh is a good director. I like everything about this movie except the movie.
Except that they're doing.
Except
Thor.
That it's Thor. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the Marvel Thor, so.
All right.
You know they're going to stick him in that goofy costume with the big silver hat, and, you know, it's just going to be bad.
They'll figure out a way to make it work, I hope.
Maybe Ultimate Thor? He doesn't wear the hat, Ultimate Thor,
does he? Doesn't wear the hat in Ultimate Thor.
I would guess they go that direction.
Probably. You know that Sam Raimi guy? He directed a couple of movies.
One who's got that horror movie coming out?
Yes,
Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah. So in a recent interview with Sam Raimi, someone asked him, do you take into consideration all of the criticism, a.k.a. the shit, that you got for Spider-Man 3 while working on Spider-Man 4? To which he said, of course I have to take it into consideration. I'm an entertainer, and if I don't make the people happy, then I don't have a leg to stand on. Then I don't have a career. So I don't know what that means for Spider-Man 4, but Sam Raimi's listening.
Yep. Yeah, of course.
He may be ignoring.
Yeah. George but Lucas listened.
Well, George Lucas didn't listen. He couldn't hear through the beard.
Yeah, or through that turkey
through
neck
the wobble.
Thing.
It's, the two are throwing interference through his brain waves. It's
just
the only logical step.
Saying he listened too. Where are
listened
we now?
To a whole lot of nothing. So Sam Raimi cares. That's what he wants us to think.
Okay.
All right. What got canceled? And what got picked up?
We might
as well get to this.
We have half a party coming, I understand.
All right. So pretty much we've heard all the major announcements this past week for a ton of new shows.
Yeah.
Some of which we don't care so much about. Some of which we care about. I've selected a couple that we care about on the show.
Okay.
Or that I care about on the show.
Shoot.
Let's start with Chuck. Chuck has been renewed for 13 episodes. With the possibility of extending it the additional, whatever it is, 11 to complete
right.
the season. So that's good news.
That is, for you.
Reaper. Done.
Done.
Reaper is done.
Yeah, I figured.
My Name is Earl. Done.
Done.
Yep, although there's a My Name is Earl campaign going on right now.
Right.
Being run by Ethan Suplee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he's good on the
show. Save my job.
Save my job. That's pretty much the extent.
Love Ethan.
Hey, I like that show. So I'd love to see it continue.
Sure.
Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oot!
Done.
Thank God.
Dead ski.
Uh-huh.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It's not a shame.
That's a shame.
It's done.
It's a good show.
Nope.
Castle. Renewed.
I know. I was stunned as hell when I heard that. I lost money on that one, I have to tell you.
I got to tell you.
That breaks the curse.
That does break the curse. You know, Castle, the first couple episodes, I was like, there's no way this is going to last past 6 episodes. It's just going to fall apart and tank. And then the more it kind of went through the season, it actually picked up a little bit of steam. It actually developed itself okay. I don't see it making it past the second season.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm happy that we're going to get more of it. I did enjoy the first season. I did watch every episode. So.
It got a half a season up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 13 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Bones. Renewed.
And not for bad reason either. That's a decent show. I've caught it a few times.
And, you know, we've been talking about this Whedon curse. We always refer to all these other shows.
No, sir.
We never talk about... Oh, we talk about the Firefly curse.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
The Bones is renewed for, like, I think the fifth season or the sixth season now.
Right.
Amazon just had a great sale on Monday. It was buy seasons 1 through 3 for like $50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bought them, didn't you?
Absolutely. I've been wanting to catch up on the show. I thought that was a good opportunity. They sell for like 60 retail, so
yeah.
$50 for 3, it's not a bad scoop. I bought it when I was ordering my The Guild season 2.
Oh yeah. Guild season 2.
You know, The Guild
canceled.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, there's talks about season 3 already.
Terrific.
The Guild season 2 starring Felicia Day. Felicia Day starring in the 13th episode of Dollhouse. Dollhouse renewed.
Yeah.
For another 13 episodes.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about? I like the show. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just
surprised that it got renewed.
I'm a little flabbergasted.
According to Fox, the DVR sales and the pre-sale for the DVD were astronomical. And was enough to give it a second go. The season ended really strong.
Felicia Day is just in the 13th episode.
Apparently, she's just in the 13th episode, but who knows going forward? You know, we may see more of her.
Oh, boy.
And there's some talks now that because of all of this success, that we may actually get the 13th episode aired sometime during the summer before the season 2 starts.
Well,
that's a rumor right now.
I'll keep my eye out for that because, you know, if there's one thing I like to tune in on TV, it's those deep, beautiful eyes of Felicia Day. You ever just stare in her eyes, man? Like the first time I heard the Beatles.
That's still creepy.
Is a many splendor thing.
So there it is.
Yes, I totally ripped that line off from Superbad before you start writing and calling the hotline. Yes, I did. Smallville's, I love Jonah Hill.
We all love Jonah Hill. He's saying. A funny dude. Smallville got one more season. Supernatural, I think,
one more season. And one more,
Smallville
and it's
is
it.
One and done.
Right.
I think Supernatural got another season. Scrubs got a spinoff season.
Meaning what? Because I thought Scrubs was done.
Scrubs ended.
Right.
And the finale was fantastic for that show. It's one of the best series finales I've ever seen.
Okay.
I thought it wrapped it up very nicely. But apparently they're going to do a spinoff show that is going to involve Donald Faison's character, Turk,
right,
on the show. He's going to, at least that's the rumor. And we're going to see Sarah Chalk and Zach Braff make cameos on the show.
Sarah Chalk, or as I call her, the fake Becky.
As I call her, the hot Becky.
Just saying.
So Scrubs may or may not be still around. Although, according to Bill Lawrence, it's definitely been picked up and it's definitely happening.
Okay, so, very good.
We'll see. There it is.
Any other ones?
I think that's it.
House?
I didn't hear anything about House, but I'm presuming House has been picked up.
Yeah, why would they not pick that
exactly.
up?
Exactly. Oh, 24 has been renewed. Uh-huh. Season 8 of 24.
By the way. Survivor? I'm sure that was picked up.
I'm sure. Lost, because it's going into its final season.
Right.
Season 7 finale of 24. Fuck 24. It was the worst season finale ever.
Really?
Oh, it was terrible. Some people are like, oh, it was the greatest thing ever. It felt like they finished filming the final episode of that show. And was like, that was the 23rd episode, right? We got one more left? We got one more hour? No, that was it.
Nope.
That was it. That was it? Fuck. That's what it felt like.
That stinks.
It was still a good season. It still had some really high moments, but that was it.
Couple of DVDs to check out this week while we're talking about your filmed entertainment dollar.
Right.
You can pluck down a couple of bucks and pick up the Tom Cruise film Valkyrie.
I haven't heard great things about that.
I watched it last night.
And you liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
All right.
I mean, we all know how it turns out, more or less, but I thought it was really good. I don't know what all the crap was about. I mean, I know the Germans gave him crap about filming it in Germany because he's a Scientologist.
Right.
And, you know,
and
when
crazy.
The Germans decide they don't like a religion, I'm just saying, shit happens. and that's what happened there. But I thought overall, I thought it was a good flick, so I'll recommend people check it out. If you like the era,
sure.
And you like those sorts of things. Yeah, I thought it was really good. In fact, sound effects and all that sort of jazz, wow, really blew me away. I mean, from the filmmaking perspective.
Right.
You can check out also the complete first season of True Blood.
I've been watching this show on HBO On Demand.
Uh-huh.
I half like it.
You just like the half that Anna Paquin is naked in.
Yeah, but I don't really like Anna Paquin that much.
Why? I think she's pretty good in this.
You know what? She's actually not bad in that, but some of that show is really can't be cheesy.
Well, yeah, but the books...
Really can't be cheesy.
I understand the books to be that way.
I haven't read the book, so I don't know.
Well, that said, of course, it's an HBO show, which means you should check it out. From Alan Ball, who was the writer of American Beauty, which won Best Picture.
Right.
And the creator of the Emmy Award-winning 6 Feet Under.
Great TV show.
Yeah, that was a great
TV. I loved that show.
So that said, you can check out the first season of that. I got the version that came with the T-shirt.
Nice.
Thanks to Best Buy Billy.
Is that a Best Buy exclusive?
I don't know if that... yes, it is. I'm being informed.
Does the shirt say, fuck Harvey Weinstein?
No, no. I believe the shirt says "Real Blood is for Suckers."
Oh, we're talking about True Blood. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what were you? Oh,
I jumped ahead.
You're ahead of yourself, sir. And what OG is referring to, of course, is the long, and I mean fucking long-awaited release of Fanboys
with the "Fuck You, Harvey Weinstein" T-shirt.
Now, this film. I don't remember how many hundreds of years ago that they made this film, but Shatner looks not as old in it.
Okay. I so, distinctly remember 2.5 years ago being at San Diego Comic-Con, and they were promoting it.
I think it had been done 2 years before that.
I think it was 1 year before that. I think it's been 3+ years.
And let's just say this is not the version of the film that was intended from the get-go of the film.
Okay. Now... We've been hearing 100 different rumors about the release of this film. There was going to be the theatrical version, the original version. I wonder if they're going to do like a special 2-set.
Not that I'm aware of, okay. But let's just run it down really quick.
Right.
The long and short of it is that this was a story about a bunch of friends. One of them has cancer.
Right, the big casino.
Right, and they want to take him to Skywalker Ranch to see episode one or do some crazy thing before the kid dies.
Right, they want to break into Skywalker Ranch to catch an exclusive screening of The Phantom Menace.
Right. That, of course, is the cancer part of the story is gone.
Right.
Apparently, in this version, in all versions. Right. I don't know. But apparently it's been filmed and then refilmed and they couldn't air it and release it and then they could. But now it's on DVD. Some of the special features include deleted scenes of kids with cancer, I'm guessing. Disturbances in the Force, which is a series of webisodes. Don't know what that is. The Truth About Fanboys.
Oh, well.
So I don't know if that's the truth about this movie or just about fanboys in general. Star Wars Parallel, choreography, a whole bunch of making of stuff. Yeah, there it is. So check it out. After long last, it's Fanboys. It had better be pretty good. We waited long enough for it.
We waited too long for it.
Yeah. And on that note, a couple of comic books to check out this week. It's Captain America number 50 from Marvel. This is technically...
Uh-oh.
Technically, this is 599.
Oh, right. They did the whole renumbering scheme.
I'm reasonably sure that the next issue is 600, although I'm not entirely sure about that.
Well, someone will let us know.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody out there has that answer. So.
Yeah, in fact, inside the book, they say next month, Captain America 600. So
make them work for it.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's the beginning of the return of Steve Rogers.
Oh, they're thawing that guy out again?
Yeah, thawing him. He's dead, sir. From DC, it's Batman Battle for the Cowl number 3.
All right.
This wraps up the series and lets you know who's going to be the Batman. Any guesses? Any big surprises?
Dick Grayson.
Wow. It sure took us 3 episodes and a whole bunch of mysteries to come up with that, didn't it? Look, and we didn't play the spoiler alert. If you didn't fucking guess that Dick Grayson was going to be the new Batman, then you're an idiot. That's it. That's it, period. You know who's going to be the new Robin?
Jason Todd.
No. He's old now, sir.
No, I was
You know who's going to be?
Actually, I don't. No.
It's Bruce Wayne's son, Damian.
Oh,
there.
Damian?
I've ruined everything for all of you now.
You're a
and
ruiner.
If you haven't seen any advanced art for the new Batman and Robin book where it's clearly Damian as Robin, then you're an idiot. From Marvel Comics, continuing their 70th anniversary where they're releasing some Timely comics. Timely, of course, the company that became Marvel or was bought by Marvel or became Marvel, whatever. This is Marvel Mystery Comics, and it features the original Human Torch and Toro, the Flaming Kid, and the Submariner, Namor.
Ooh.
Yes, it's lovely. And so, of course, it has a new story in the front by DeFalco, Burnham, and Fairbairn, and a reprint of an original issue in the back.
Nice.
Featuring a human, I think it's just a Human Torch story in the back.
I'm okay with that. I like the Torch.
Yep. So there's that. You can check that out. Something I'm very, very excited about and glad to be bringing to this show from our friends over at Dynamite Entertainment. It's the first issue of The Complete Dracula.
Ooh.
This is for the first time in 112 years. The original masterpiece from Bram Stoker has been fully restored. Now enjoy this masterpiece of classic literature as writer Bram Stoker originally envisioned it. So they're doing, it's almost like when Brana did the complete text of Hamlet as the movie.
Right.
This would be the complete literal, if you will, translation of Dracula. Issue one, it's got some creepy art inside. And I think this is really going to be an absolutely killer, killer book. That's going to be a great trade when it's done, too. So pick up the issues or wait for the trade. It's worth it either way. And finally, closing out this week, it's the Batman
hardcover.
Hardcover, Mad Love and Other Stories. These are the collaborations between Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, the guys who created the animated show in the 90s. And that includes Batman Adventures Mad Love, which was the Batman animated style book that they were doing then, and some of their stuff like the Batman Adventures Holiday Special. So couple of best of Paul Dini, Bruce Timm stuff, a lot of Joker, Harley Quinn, Batman stuff, and a beautiful hardcover edition. So there you go. That's comics for the week.
Why don't we take our first break?
Yes, let's do that.
I need a drink.
Well, sir, I will not contribute to your problem here on the show.
I always need a drink after the first segment.
Why?
Because the news is always so disappointing.
It's no reason to drink, sir.
It's a good reason to drink.
All right, we'll take that first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 149. This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
I just had a question about tattoos. I just got my first one, which is a bright pink blow dryer, kind of like a comic book form, a little bit of Lichtenstein thrown in there. But I was told by one of my friends who has a purple wizard from the Magic the Gathering tattooed on his shoulder that it was kind of geeky because I went with comic book style. However, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots that I'm going to be getting soon isn't geeky. I was wondering, what is the geekiest tattoo that you have seen, and if you guys have any geek tattoos as well? Have a good day. Bye.
So, Kat, rawr.
We have lady listeners. I know, no one believes us.
Well, there's living proof. Either Kat is a really sexy girl-voiced boy, or she's a girl-voiced girl. Kat, I think it's really cool that you got a geeky tattoo or not geeky tattoo. Now, she said that she had a pinkish blow dryer or something.
Right.
That was a little Lichtenstein. Do you know what Lichtenstein is? Roy Lichtenstein?
I know he's an artist.
Roy Lichtenstein is a guy that does those big... It's like one... Let's call it a giant canvas, but it's one... it's like one... Like 50s era comic panel.
Yeah, I know who he is.
With the giant dots. You know what I mean? Like if you zoomed in really close on an old school comic panel when they were ink, kind of the ink like dots, the coloring.
Pop art kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
So
who
that's
he is.
Very cool. What a great reference there. We've never actually talked about Roy Lichtenstein on the show. We should at some point.
Sure.
That's really cool. And your friend who has a purple wizard on him. From Magic the Gathering, said that Rock'em Sock'em Robots aren't geeky?
Well, that's just silly.
That's just dumb.
They're a toy.
Not only are they a toy, so, but they're a classic toy, no less.
So, by proxy, geeky. I mean, it's just, it's you got a tattoo of a toy, that's geeky.
There's
flat out no way around it.
And look, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not.
In fact, we wanted to tell you, you might want to check out the artwork, both you and your friend might want to check out the artwork of Eric Joyner.
He has this great book out called, is it Robots and Donuts?
Yes.
And there's a lot of great Rock'em Sock'em art in there.
There is. And in fact, he actually did, now this is going back a number of years, there's a very famous painting of I think it was done in the 20s or 30s of two guys boxing where one of the boxers has knocked another boxer out of the ring. Everyone, right. if you see it, many people will have seen it in passing in some form. He actually redid that painting with the Rock'em Sock'em robots and one of the robots knocking the other robot out into the audience. And the audience members are all kind of robots as well.
Correct.
So, or famous, not famous, but tin type robots. So.
We should say real quick, if you're looking for that book, it's Dark Horse that's actually solicits it and puts it out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Amazon.
If you go to Amazon and look up robots and donuts.
The geekiest, she wanted to know the geekiest tattoo that we've ever seen.
Wow.
I saw Heath Ledger as the Joker took up some dude's half his calf or something. That was pretty recent and pretty good. But we have seen some shit.
I've seen an entire Marvel back piece that goes into a full sleeve. On the right side of the guy's body.
Oh, really?
So it's it was Spider-Man, Venom, the Vulture, Carnage, Doc Ock, and there was another Spidey villain in there.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty much his entire back and then into a full sleeve on his right arm, which was pretty impressive. I think it was the tentacles of Doc Ock going up his arm and then into Doc Ock and his back.
Oh, nice.
And
the rest of, it was a
really,
nice.
Really impressive piece. So,
you know, and on the subject of tattoos, we've seen, Kat, we've seen literally hundreds because, you know, when we go to these shows or everything, guys will come up and they'll show us their ink.
Oh, sure.
And that sort of thing. And then even when they don't come up and show us, you know, it's they're proudly on display a lot of times. So on the subject, you really got to be committed, I think, to put that kind of geek tattoo on yourself.
Well, you got to be committed to put any kind of tattoo on yourself. Right. But, yes, now, certainly.
Now, and finally, Kat wants to know what geeky tattoos we have.
Right.
I have a giant imperial symbol on my back. The imperial symbol, just one color. It takes up 98% of my back. A giant, giant imperial symbol.
I'm calling Bravo Sierra.
What do you mean?
I've seen your back.
Ew.
There is no tattoo on that back.
Peeking? What?
Now, that being said, you've discussed getting that tattoo.
Yeah, not on my back.
No, on your leg,
I believe,
right?
Discussed getting... I'm trying to combine all of my interests into a single
into
tattoo. And then deciding whether I should get that tattoo or not. So I'm still in the planning phases. I don't actually have it. OG, however, has... several.
I do have several, but I think there's probably only one that really qualifies.
Really?
For geeky.
Which
one? I think so. The one on the back of my leg.
What about the Mickey you have on your...
Yes, I have a Mickey head on my ribs.
Uh-huh.
I have Pirate in Kanji on my shoulder.
What's Kanji?
Japanese characters.
Okay.
And then on the back of my leg, I have a falling leaf. And surrounding the leaf, it says, "I am a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar."
From
Serenity. It is Wash's final line in Serenity right before he, dies.
Serenity, of course, is, we should say, the picture based on the Joss Whedon TV show
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
So that's a couple of geeky tattoos there.
Yeah, I would think the Wash one is probably the geekiest that I have.
So there you go, Kat.
But I have two more that I want to get that I have planning. I'm planning.
What are you planning?
I want a band of dice, I think, on my upper arm.
Like different sided
polyhedron
dice?
Polyhedron, yeah.
Wow.
A 4, a 6, an 8, a 12.
20.
A 10, a 12, and a 20, yeah.
What about 100?
That's like a golf ball with numbers written on it.
I like to see Caesar do that one to you.
I'm sure Caesar would.
96.
And I also want a Nightcrawler one, I think, at some point. But
nice. Your whole back? Just like a tail coming up your back like it was your own tail?
Yeah, there you go.
That would be awesome.
That being said, I do pretty much go to one guy exclusively.
Yes.
He's a fan of the show. His name's Caesar.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately... he just moved his studio to a new location, and I can't remember the name of the studio off the top of my head.
Well, why don't you put a link up on the
There will be a link up on the site before this episode airs, so there it is.
And people will be like, why is there a link?
Why is there a link to this random tattoo studio on the site?
Do you think the geek tattoos are something that, you know, more people are catching on with?
Yeah, especially the gaming one. I mean,
that's the D&D intro.
Worked in there nicely.
Must be time for our Dungeons & Dragons update.
Fancy that.
Yes, our fourth edition update. We're following with great care and concern the latest edition of the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game, the fourth edition, if you will. And you can go over to DND Insider, that's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com to get more information on the product we're going to be talking about tonight and other products in the D&D Dungeons & Dragons realm.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to talk about Monster Manual 2.
Yay!
Skippy.
Yes, and it's in conjunction with, there's a big D&D day, play day or something.
Yeah, what is that? Up. That's coming up soon, right?
It's either coming up or it's just passed.
Right.
So either way, you can still enjoy the book. It's the natural, if you will, the natural extension, of course, of Monster Manual 1 with over 200 pages of new creatures and things and oozes and all sorts of things for you, the Dungeon Master,
right,
to populate your adventures with, your players' adventures with. And for the adventurers, I should say, a chance for you to learn a little bit more about the creatures that you may encounter in your Dungeons & Dragons games.
Were direwolves in Monster Manual 1, or are they in this one?
I don't know.
Direwolves, best way to rid your campaign of an annoying player. That's all,
yes,
I'm saying.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's all I'm saying.
Dire wolves make short work of annoying players. Yeah, here's your puppy.
That's right.
That's it. Stupid. Go right ahead. I don't know. Maybe they were in the first one. I don't believe they're in the second one. But that said, there are a ton of things in the second one that you'll want to check out. More elementals, more dragons, more crazy stuff for you to check out and use in your campaigns. I love these books simply to read about the different creatures that they're able to come up with over,
oh, sure,
the fine folks who are doing this game over at Wizards of the Coast. And as a dungeon master, this really helps me flesh out my games. It has in the past. I know it will in the future. And it's a very valuable resource. I'm very happy to see that they're continuing.
It's a very valuable resource for players, too.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, full color illustrations,
absolutely,
throughout, all the necessary stats. And you're not really, you know, you're not really wanting for anything in here. I mean, it's as complete a book as you can get on this topic, if you will. And it's very exciting. Gonna run you about $35, $34.95, which is good. That's a good price, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for all that you get in here, it's 200 pages. I mean, for goodness sake. Check out D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, as we said before, for more information, I should say, on this and other fine Dungeons & Dragons products. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
Okay.
Let's get into it.
We might as well. We've been teasing it for 2 weeks, so...
Carl Urbane, Academy Award nominee for Best Supporting Actor.
He was really, really good.
He nailed DeForest Kelly. I mean... He did a better, do you want to say impression? I don't want to say impression.
No, I don't think it was an impression. I think it was, he just did a fantastic job at maintaining that character.
Yes, and DeForest Kelly, who played, we should say Carl Urbane and DeForest Kelly,
right,
who have now both played Bones,
right,
Dr. McCoy, Leonard McCoy.
Right.
Both in the original series, DeForest Kelly, and the new movie, Carl Urbane. Carl Urbane, of course, was... Which one was he? He was the leader of the horsemen in Lord of the Rings.
Right. He was Éomer.
Éomer. Is that who he was?
I think it was.
Éomer, Éowyn.
Éowyn was the girl.
Right.
I think it was Éomer.
Whoever it was, that guy. And he's... Of course, he's been in a ton of other things. He was in... what was the Pitch Black sequel?
Chronicles of Riddick.
Yes, the Chronicles of Riddick. Of course, he was excellent, I thought, in that. And now he's playing Dr. McCoy in the new Star Trek. DeForest Kelly, the actor who originated the role, a slight southern twang, as he was from somewhere in the South. And DeForest Kelly had certain mannerisms and certain deliveries. You know what I mean? Like, it was very... he's, let's say he's the third in the big three of Star Trek lore, if you will, from the original series. So you have certain expectations. He's kind of grumpy. He's, you know, and he's got that little twang. And the way DeForest Kelly delivered lines is exactly the way that Carl Urban delivered it. I thought, without question, he was the best character in the film. Best character in the film. I mean, okay, with regards to retaining as much of the original character or portrayal, if you will, I thought Carl Urban was the best one in the film.
Well, I'm going to have to trust you on that.
I know. You got nothing to base it on.
I don't have a whole lot of comparison to go with right there. So
yeah, I know.
I'm going to trust you.
I know. This is why this conversation is going to be so one-sided.
No, it's not.
Why don't we take?
I have a good perspective on it.
Why don't we take your perspective? What did you think of it?
The movie overall?
Yes.
I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was. I thought it was very entertaining. I liked everybody's performance in the movie, with the exception of Eric Bana, who I think I just came to realize I don't like him.
What now? What didn't you like about Eric Bana?
He just seemed kind of, I don't know. He seemed like he was trying too hard to portray this angry, like, you know, broken, vengeance-ridden guy.
What I liked,
I didn't really believe him.
What I liked about him was that he was just a regular dude. Like, he wasn't like a Romulan general or
yeah, he was a miner.
He was a working man.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really good.
As a plot device, I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You just didn't like his performance.
No, I don't think I'm a big fan of his.
Do you like him in Troy?
Nah. And I don't really like him in Hulk.
How about Munich?
I didn't see Munich.
All right. So you really don't have a lot of comparison material.
You listed like three movies. I saw two. That's all right. No.
Usually, I think you got to have three.
Okay. Well, then I have to have Star Trek. Yeah. So there right. You go.
Okay. I'll accept that. I thought he was okay. The fact that he was a normal guy is what really impressed me. Just a normal sort of working class Romulan guy, I thought was really cool.
I got the feeling, though, that the movie was a bit more, and I don't think other people have said this to me, so I can only take what I remember and what I hear, but I got the feeling that it was a bit more kind of action and a little bit more loose than the original series was.
Yes, in a lot of ways. So let's talk about some of those ways. Of course, you know, it being J.J. Abrams and it being a big screen blockbuster,
right,
it is an action-packed, really, from moment to moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah,
the action stuff was really terrific. That is not in tune, of course, with the original series, which was a much more cerebral
right
show. Much more cerebral show. So that would be one difference. There was not a lot of cerebral things going on in the movie. Couple, but not a lot.
The mind meld scene.
Yeah.
With Spock and Kirk. That was like the most cerebral part of the whole.
Well, why? Because it involved the mind? That's not what I meant by cerebral.
No, because it was probably one of the only scenes in the whole movie where it was really 100% story matter without a lot of fancy
right
other stuff going on in the background.
Right.
It was really just to convey important information to the story.
Right. And so that's one important distinction that we should say. As far as it being loose, there were a lot of, you know, and I don't care if we're giving away, I'm not playing the spoiler alert, but in essence, all right, fine.
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
There, you happy now? Spoiler
yes.
alert. In essence, what they've done here is they've exactly like we speculated, like we had heard, is that they Doc Browned the Star Trek universe.
Right.
Something happened in the future. They came back in the past. They altered the past. They altered Kirk's past and really the Federation's past.
Sure.
On the day Kirk was born. they altered that day. And by altering that day, they have altered the entire universe. So while some things remain the same, some things are largely different.
Right.
And it's just some of those things that are different that the longtime fans are going to have to get used to, more or less.
I think, though, that the way they handled it, in order to preserve the ability to do more going forward without running into a whole lot of roadblocks
right.
for what was already there or what's already been established, I think they did handle it in a really good way.
Oh, I mean, agree.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it was a good way to handle the whole timeline and how do you do a prequel properly right. without screwing with the past.
And it thought it was good. And it certainly gives them the opportunity to, in my opinion, take those TV show plot devices and rework them into a movie. So, you know, I'm thinking what's chronologically next, theoretically, according to the old TV show, what's the next, let's call it three episodes. How can we merge the three episode plots into one movie plot or something along those lines? They certainly have enough material now where they certainly could do that. You talked about Eric Bana. You didn't like Eric Bana. You know who I didn't like?
Who? Simon Pegg.
Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you have right. Leonard Nimoy, the venerable Spock from the future, coming back into the past and addressing his younger self. And Best Buy Billy is covering his ears because he hasn't seen this yet. Hey, you were warned. Just saying. Comes back to address himself and other of his friends, if you will, the younger versions of themselves in this new reality, this new timeline.
Right.
And I found Leonard Nimoy completely soft. I think he's lost the character. Spock was always about logic, until kind of the Wrath of Khan, where he was kind of a little loosey-goosey for the first half. And even more so, he was a little loosey-goosey in The Voyage Home because it was a comedy, so they loosened him up a little bit. But by the end, he's still regimented logic guy by the last Trek movie that included him, which I think was 6. You know, he's, a pop, a quip here and there. Most of it is just, you know, Spock being logical.
Right.
And in this, he's advising his younger self, go ahead, do what you want to do. Go with your feelings. What do you feel you should do? I didn't like that. I didn't like the way that he kind of, because the Spock character here, also an extension of his appearances in The Next Generation. Again, he was still kind of...
Do we know where this Spock is supposed to come from?
Based on what we saw?
I know the future, but what I mean is...
Specifically?
Where in the Star Trek timeline...
Got to be some point after his appearances in Next Generation.
Okay.
So that said... He's that Spock, according as far as I'm concerned.
Vulcan never gets destroyed.
No,
none of
that ever. No, none of that ever happens.
Does Romulus get destroyed though?
Not that we've ever seen. We know that it happens,
but it happened,
now
right?
because of the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
But that said, he is working with the underground Romulans, trying to reunite the Romulans and Vulcans were at one time one race.
One
they
race
split off.
They...
Right. One race went with their emotions. The
one
Romulans
followed the shoe. One followed the gourd.
Exactly. One went with the logic, which was the Vulcan. So that's kind of where we left him in Next Generation.
Right.
He's working on these things. That said, again, I thought he was too soft, I can not belabor the point any longer.
I thought Zachary Quinto was good, though. I mean, maybe he's not. I don't know. But I thought his performance was good. I liked him a lot.
He was fine.
I enjoyed it.
John Cho I liked. I liked the kid playing Chekhov was good.
I thought Chekhov was really good. John Cho I thought was kind of a waste.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the Sulu character very well.
It's just this.
But
hi, hello.
I don't know. He just kind of seemed like
Headwork Factor 2.
Kind of seemed like they cast him to do the fencing scene.
Who's a Chinese guy we can get in this movie?
Yeah, it's you know what I mean.
No, he was fine.
I don't know how good Simon Pegg was to that character versus the original character. Vastly different, I'm assuming.
Yes, different, but not.
Was the original character that kind of silly and goofy?
He could be. He could be. There were occasions where he was a little bit silly and goofy, and that's fine. But by and large, when he needed to be serious, he was serious. So it is. Don't forget, whatever has happened to alter the past has altered these characters, right? Has altered their universe, which thus alters them, without getting too far into the Back to the Future logic. So by altering them, something like the Simon Pegg version of Scotty versus the Jimmy Doohan version of Scotty, you have a built-in excuse. Sure. You have a built-in excuse for anything for using that logic. Yeah,
for all of them, really.
So overall, I say Star Trek, great movie, much better than I anticipated that it would be. I'm looking very forward to any sequels they might do. My understanding is that they may already be in the works.
Yeah, I believe they've already commented there's going to be at least a second one.
Yes.
I think weeks before the movie got released, they were talking about already doing the second one. So.
And we should mention Chris Pine, good Kirk. So there it is.
Oh, yeah. I like Chris Pine. How can we gloss over Chris Pine? I thought he did a fine job.
Well,
let's
talk about Jennifer Morrison, star of House.
That's right.
And her few minutes in the movie as pregnant Kirk's mom being wheeled around.
That's right.
Stuff. So she can always come back because she's not dead.
No, saying. I guess she's not dead. No.
Just saying. More Jennifer Morrison, more Gooder.
More Gooder. So. We didn't really talk about Uhura either. Zoe Saldana.
Oh, yeah. She was very good also.
She was all right. She had her role. Now, was there ever actually some sort of love story?
No,
I didn't think so. I suspected that was completely
any
and totally
love
fabricated.
Stories, with very few exceptions. Any love stories in the original series was Kirk and alien chick of the week,
right?
So, generally speaking,
right? Okay.
I mean, there was an occasion where Bones got one or two, and maybe Spock got one or two, and that was it.
Okay.
So, no, that whole Spock Uhura thing, that's all new, baby.
Overall, very, very entertaining. Definitely worth watching, Trek fan or not.
Yeah, and I think going to create some new Trek fans.
Maybe.
Maybe even you.
Maybe.
So, with that, let's take our final break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 149. This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for. And we'll be right back with the wrap-up.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
We're the Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Fred Decker, director of the Monster Squad.
This is Duncan Regier, Dracula from Monster Squad.
This is Tom Noonan, plays Frankenstein in Monster Squad.
This is Tom Woodruff, Gillman from Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Andre Gower, Sean Crenshaw from the Monster Squad.
This is Ashley Bank, Phoebe from Monster Squad.
This is Ryan Lambert, I'm Rudy from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Wolfman's got nards! From the mouth of babes comes dynamite, the Monster Squad's gonna groove tonight.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 149. This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for.
It's almost, this was the Star Trek episode you're looking for. OG, what did we talk about on this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Coming to you from Hasbro and Universal, Battleship, the game.
The movie.
The movie. And hopefully from George Miller, Mad Max 4.
God, I hope so. Marvel has put out the Reading Chronology 2009. It's half, this is how you should read it, half by our trade paperbacks. I think it's sad, but I do understand it as a selling device for the Marvel trade. So there's that. It's free, I think, at your local comic book store.
Apparently, Sam Raimi cares what we had to say about Spider-Man 3, and he's going to take it into consideration while doing Spider-Man 4. And Kenneth Branagh has cast his Thor and his Loki. Tom Hiddleston as Loki, and Chris...
What's his name?
Hemsworth as Thor. Kirk Daddy.
On DVD this week, you can check out the two-disc special edition of Valkyrie starring Tom Cruise. The first complete season, the first season of True Blood from HBO featuring Anna Paquin and others. You can check that out. Came with a free t-shirt. And Fanboys, a long-awaited movie. It had better be worth the wait. That has finally come out to DVD as well.
What shows got picked up and what shows got canceled? Dollhouse got picked up. That's the only one I'm re-mentioning.
Everything else is kind of no surprise except that one. Comics to check out this week include the hardcover Mad Love and Other Stories from Batman, the animated style book, Batman Adventures. Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, the guys who created the TV show, did some comic work as well. You can check out some of that in that book. Captain America 50, or as I like to call it, 599. Batman Battle for the Cowl number 3 from DC. From Marvel, their 70th anniversary continues with a timely comics presentation of Marvel Mystery Comics featuring the original Human Torch and Submariner. And from our friends at Dynamite Entertainment, it's the first issue of the complete Dracula. It's a very exciting book.
In segment 2 of tonight's show, we'd like to thank Kat for calling in. Rock'em Sock'em Robots, absolutely a geeky tattoo.
Please send us a picture.
Please. And don't forget to check out Robots and Donuts by
Eric
Joyner.
Yes, excellent. And also, I think upcoming episode, a little assignment for you. Why don't you tell us something about Roy Lichtenstein?
All right.
There you go. Assignment. On assignment. OG. Are you still doing those OG After Effects?
Well, after our breakup, I've gotten back the property that from the divorce so I could start doing them again.
Oh, yes. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe Roy Lichtenstein could be one of those.
Maybe he could be. Eric Joyner was one at one point in time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
In our D&D update this week, we talked about Monster Manual 2, over 200 pages of new creatures and things with full color illustrations, all the stats and information you need to add some of these great, exciting creatures, scary creatures in some cases, that flesh out your D&D game as a DM or as a player. You're going to want to pick this up. Check out D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com to get information about this and other fine D&D products from Wizards of the Coast.
Overall, Star Trek, a good movie. Don't have to be a fan of the original series. It's just fun. Go see it.
You don't have to be a fan of the original series, but, you know, at the least, this should make you want to watch the original series.
Maybe.
You especially.
Maybe.
Just saying. We should get geek cards made up.
Yeah, so you could cut off the four corners of mine?
Well, at least one for Star Trek. I don't know. You might have another two or three that you're hiding from me. I don't know. We'll figure them out as we travel along through the geekosphere here.
That's it.
I know you're holding out something else on me that you should...
Some secrets.
Something else you should have watched. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to figure it out. You probably never saw Alien, did you?
Seen Alien.
Okay. I don't know. There's something. I don't know. Don't forget to check us out each and every week here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You can go over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, download each and every episode, a photo gallery for each and every episode if you're not listening on your iTunes, QuickTime, or iPod. You can buy the official T-shirt. You can give us a call at the hotline,
425-920-6050.
And you can, like Kat, you can ask us a question or bring up a topic, and we might discuss it here on the show. You might hear yourself on a future episode.
Absolutely. Don't forget, you can also check out Radio Gotham and Homegrown Radio New Jersey for some information on when we're broadcast over there.
Yes.
The information is on the website.
Yes, and, Syndication Now.
That's it, Syndication Now.
And I think that's everything. Don't forget the video content also over at the site.
Yes.
I understand from production, Tim, new pieces are coming this week.
Wow, really?
That's what I heard.
You know, next week is the big 150.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh.
Aren't we supposed to do something for that? Maybe that ain't going to happen at 150. I'm just saying. We haven't even broken in Best Buy Billy yet.
I know. The new regime. The game.
He's all just like chilling out, maxing, relaxing.
Was he the Fresh Prince?
Got his final words all prepared so that he can say them when I've prompted him. Is that it?
I don't have anything else. I want to go eat.
Fine. And with that, Best Buy Billy, Triple B, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 149? This is the Star Trek episode you're looking for.
He's dead, Jim.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Oh, Scotty doesn't know. Oh, so don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Fiona says she's out shopping, but she's on her knees. I'm not stopping. Cause Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. I can't believe he's so trusting. While I'm right behind you thrusting. Fiona's got him on the phone. Yeah, she's trying. It's a three-way call and he knows nothing. So cool when you're on top. His front lawn in the snow. Life is so hard. Cause Scotty doesn't know. Scotty.